You mentioned that initially she had some sort of abdominal discomfort or some kind of symptoms in the abdomen. Did they change at all after she got the Folfiri Bev?
Yes, they did. They improved. And that's how she felt like it was working. She has this pelvic fullness. It's this sort of like a difficult to describe feeling that she has. And when that goes away, she feels like, oh, things are working. And she's usually right. She doesn't really have pelvic ascites, so I don't really know what she's feeling. But, you know, you definitely have improvement when her symptoms improve like that.
And you said there was a sort of a nodule that you could feel?
Right. There was a really small, when she was initially diagnosed when the cancer returned, on the left upper quadrant. It was like about the size of maybe a little bit bigger than a dime that you could feel. It's like a little palpable nodule. That's what we biopsied. And that has shrunk, and then it sort of stayed the same size. So
after a year and a half of treatment, which sounds like was successful to some extent, she then, like many patients, if almost all, did show some disease progression at that point, I guess, on her imaging studies. Now, at that point, was she still feeling well?
She was.
And was this a big change in what was seen or just a small change?
Just a small change.
So she then was considered, though, clinically progressing, correct?
Correct.
And she then, I guess, really, the team then was faced with, you know, really one of the most controversial decisions being discussed nowadays in colorectal cancer, which is exactly this situation. The patient who's had a very good response to first-line therapy with chemotherapy and bevacizumab, certainly the most common approach to metastatic disease nowadays, she responds, but then she has slow progression. And so a couple of the strategies that have been thought about in this situation, one is to switch to some other type of anti-angiogenic, and there is a newly approved agent, aflibercept, that's available. But also there's another strategy that's often considered, which is to keep the bevacizumab going and change the chemotherapy, which seems to have similar benefit to aflibercept. When you faced this situation, were these sort of the two things you were kind of thinking?
Absolutely. And a lot of it had to do with the duration of which she was treated with the Folfiri and bevacizumab. Because she had done so well for so long, we thought, well, maybe there's still some activity out of these drugs. And you know, when you're treating somebody with metastatic disease, you want to utilize these drugs as long as possible. And when it's clear, either by symptoms or radiological progression, that there's no more utility in these drugs, then you want to switch. So although we had options of, let's say, aflibercept or, you know, she's KRAS mutant, so she would not be eligible for cetuximab.
I guess we should point out that what about half of the patients have a KRAS mutation in their tumor? And we know those patients don't respond to EGFR antibodies like cetuximab.
Exactly. So that somewhat limited our options as well. And, you know, being the savvy patient that she is, she knew about aflibercept, and she also had some ideas about what her next treatment should be. And she really wanted to try the combination of Folfiri and aflibercept, which, you know, after much discussion, we felt like that was a reasonable thing to try. And actually, it's been helpful for her.
So how long has she been on that treatment?
Oh, now it's probably about 5 months.